Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bucks never stop here. You're listening to Green and Growing, hosted by Sparky Pfeiffer and Nathan Marzion.
Hey, it's Sparky Pfeiffer, 1250 AM. The Fan, beautiful Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Maybe not as beautiful. Had some, had a tornado that we know of for sure roll through western Wisconsin tonight. First time there's been a tornado in Wisconsin in the month of February ever. There had never even been a tornado warning in the month of February. So there's your weather update for Wisconsin. If you are checking us out across the country in your Odyssey app, or if you download your podcast at, or streaming live on the Odyssey Sports YouTube page, I am Steve Sparky Fiverr. Follow us at Sparky Radio, or follow Nathan Marzion, my co-host, over at Nathan Marzion. Trade deadline day was earlier today. Let's talk about the trades the Bucks made. We'll talk about some of the trades in the East, and we'll also talk about the Bucks T-Wolves game that just ended prior to us coming on as well. So first, the trade of significance. The Milwaukee Bucks send out our guy Cam Payne, backup guard, second round pick in 2027, and they get Patrick Beverley in return from the 76ers. Your thoughts, Nathan Marzion?
I like it. You know, I do wish probably that they would have done a little bit more, but this is a good move. I don't know how anyone can be not liking this move or upset with this move, because, you know, there's nothing to really lose from it. You know, you're just trading a backup point guard that doesn't play defense for a backup point guard that plays defense. And that's what they needed on this team. They needed some bench defense, some perimeter defense, some guard defense. And so you got that in Patrick Beverley. Is it, you know, the flashiest move? Is it going to completely change everything? No, but it helps. And they are, you know, a better team after this trade. You didn't have to give up, you know, really anything other than, you know, again, Payne in that 2027 second round pick. So you kept the 2024 second from Portland, which was the much more valuable one. And they now have more ammo to make a trade come offseason time when they're going to have two firsts to trade. So, you know, I like that they made a move and they still have some ammo later. Now, again, would I prefer that they have just kind of gone more all in right now? Yes, always. Like, I do always want them to be all in every single year when you have a team this good. But, you know, I'm glad they at least did something, because there was a brief moment where you were kind of looking at, like, are they going to just not do anything? Are they not even going to try to address the bench? Are they just going to, you know, continue with exactly what they have? But Pat Bev will be a nice addition. I like that he'll be a vocal guy, kind of like that PJ Tucker role that he played in 2021, where it was like he came in here and he was barking at the coach a little bit. He was barking at Giannis a little bit. He was like getting in these guys' faces like, hey, let's go. You know, and it's, you need a guy like that sometimes. As long as they don't go too over the top with it, but like guys that can push one another, guys that'll, you know, make each other better and really bring that intensity, it fires everyone up. You know, he'll be helping everyone by doing that, as again, PJ Tucker did in the playoffs and with that, in that stretch run in 2021. You know, those guys respected him and they really did like playing with him. So I'm excited to have a guy like that. We know he has a history with Dame, you know, a bad history where they've kind of gotten into it and had their little feuds and stuff. But, you know, those guys are going to put that aside, and they're both ready. They're hungry to win. And, you know, Dame already said, he's like, you know, competing for a championship is much bigger than any little feud I've had with him over the years. So I'm excited to see them, you know, have a guy like this in the locker room. And again, a defensive presence that they haven't had all season long, really, on the bench. So it's a good addition, and I'm glad that they did it.
Can't stand this dude, man. I can't.
Oh, I agree. Trust me.
I cannot stand Patrick Beverley. I don't like Patrick Beverley.
Yes.
I don't like Grant Williams more, but I don't like Patrick Beverley at all. Now,
I was really quick. Right. I would have disliked the Grant Williams thing more because A, he's even more annoying to me than Pat Bev, and B, I think he's just worse than Pat Bev on defense. Like, I don't trust Grant Williams to even be better than, you know, what we already had. But I totally agree. I didn't say this, but yeah, when they made the trade at first, I was like, damn, like I don't like this dude. Like, I just have always been annoyed by Pat Bev. He's always been a guy where I'm like, God, I just can't stand him. But when he's on your team, we're gonna love him. You know, we're gonna start to really like him, and I'm sure we'll get into it. So
I definitely don't like Patrick Beverley. But the crazy part about this is, and I quote tweeted it. First of all, I had a crazy day. My kid ended up in the urgent care during high school because he got hurt playing basketball, jacked up his finger, and I got to go see a hand surgeon. It's a whole thing. So I was dealing with that, and then I get a text stating that they got Pat Bev. So then I had to go look at my phone real quick to see what was going on, and it's a solid move. Like, I'm not mad at the move just because I don't like Patrick Beverley. Doesn't mean it's a bad move just because I don't like the guy, right? So there's so many things I want to get into on this trade. First, let's rewind to what you said. Of, oh man, maybe they're not going to do anything. And I was watching you on Twitter, like I always do, Marzi. I'm keeping an eye out, seeing what's going through Nathan's head. And Nathan was the ray of positivity all day. Like, even when things weren't looking like it was going to happen, he was trying to keep it positive. He was trying to keep it as positive as he could without like showing any type of a crack of maybe he's starting to doubt that this was going to get done. But the one thing everybody needs to understand is, Horse was trying. This wasn't a situation where Horse was like, man, I got nothing. Like, I'll make a couple calls, but we don't got enough to get this done. I mean, was it Wojnarowski's podcast? I think it was yesterday, where he said one executive told him that Milwaukee was calling everybody, throwing out different three-way trades and everything else. Like, they were doing all this stuff, trying to figure out any possible way of getting different guys and how it would help all three teams. And so Horse was working his tail end off. So if they wouldn't have got Pat Bev, and if they wouldn't have been able to do anything, it wouldn't have been for lack of trying or lack of creativity. The issue was, and the reason they couldn't do more was because they screwed themselves on any assets they could have had, meaning draft picks, by trading for Holiday, by trading for Dame Lillard, and by doing these type of moves, you've been trading away assets for the last 2 or 3 years, and eventually you're going to have to pay the piper. And right now they kind of had to pay the piper because they didn't have enough to go get what they truly needed, which was a wing defender, which Nathan Marjan has been telling you for months. So now that you didn't get that, you had to get something. So Patrick Beverley is the next best to something you could have gotten because, again, as Nathan pointed out, he's a great defender. He's like Tucker. He's going to run his mouth and jaw, do all that crap we hate, but he's going to do it, and hopefully it benefits the Milwaukee Bucks. But the wild part about this whole thing was, it was the only trade on trade deadline day that the player being traded was in the process of doing his podcast live when this whole thing broke down. So he gets traded, and then here come all these videos from his podcast popping up all over Twitter about him finding out, him getting a hold of Malik Beasley, kind of talking about Dame Lillard. Oh man, I got my relationship right with Dame. It starts laughing, whatever. So you have that going on. Before that, you have the dude hosting with him talking about, man, crime rates going to go up in Philly if they trade you, man. Like, that's going to happen. Like, it's going to go crazy in Philly if they trade my guy Pat Bev. And then you have Pat Bev going after everybody's favorite general manager in Philadelphia, Daryl Morey, calling him a liar and saying, oh, yeah, you just got to tell me you're not going to trade me, and now you trade me. And again, we go back to James Harden calling Daryl Morey a liar as well. So it's all part of the process. See what I did there? That happens in Philadelphia. So that was another aspect of this. But the biggest aspect of this is they freed up $8.6 million that they don't have to pay towards the luxury tax. So good job by the owners there. Then the second trade was Robin Lopez to Sacramento for nothing, and they threw him cash to get him off, and now it opens up a roster spot. And now I come back to Nathan. But now the tricky situation comes. Just because somebody gets cut, Nathan, does not mean the Milwaukee Bucks can go out and sign them to a veteran minimum deal because of where they are with the tax apron and everything else. You can explain that process of how this works now for the Bucks going forward as far as being a player on the buyout market.
Yeah, so the new rules say that you can't get a player on the buyout market that was making more than what now would be like, because it's whatever the taxpayer mid-level is, which I think is like 5 point something, six something. So they, if any player is...
They can't sign anybody that's making over $12 million or $12.4 million or something like that coming into this season. It's 12.4.
Okay, maybe it was the full mid-level then. So yeah, then at that point, yeah, anyone that was making over $12 million that gets bought out, you can't get that guy because they are a second apron team and everything like that. So like Marcus Morris, you can't get Marcus Morris on the buyout market. He was making like $16 million. So
DJ Tucker making $11 million if he were to be cut, making $11 million, just under.
Yeah, so, but they already, I think they already said that, what did they say? He's not getting bought out or he's staying or something. I don't even remember.
Saying that he doesn't want a buyout or he's not going to ask for a buyout. Yeah.
Yeah. So, basically they have limits to who they can even get on a buyout. And it looks like that Robin Lopez trade, which essentially was Robin Lopez for nothing and cash for nothing. So that basically, it looks like that got them under the second apron. And I'm not entirely sure because there's still like incentives and stuff that could push them over at the end of the year. But it sounds like that got them under the second apron, which is important because staying under the second apron allows them on draft night to combine players, or basically any time between when the season ends and July 1st, when free agency starts, to combine players in a trade and aggregate their salaries in a trade to go get a bigger player. You know, so if you wanted to go get, I'm throwing a name out there, Andrew Wiggins, you know, if he's even under contract again next year, I think he is, but
he is, yep.
He's $24 million. The only way you could do that is by combining the salaries, unless you're going to trade one of your main guys, which I don't think they would be by combining the salaries of Bobby and Pat and Marjan or whatever. If they go over the second apron right now, they would not be able to do that in, you know, on draft night when they're going to have their two first to trade, because that's the important part. Is I think part of the reason they're waiting and not trading Bobby and Pat right away is because they're going to have more ammo to do that later. Right now, they only had 2 second round picks to attach to it. And once they made the campaign trade, they only had one. So really it's like, okay, you can offer teams Bobby, Pat, Marjan, but you can only attach one pick to them. So I don't know, unless the team really needs a guy like that, they're not really going to take it. Whereas come draft night, you're going to have the 2024 first round pick to trade that you have. You're going to have your 2031 first round pick to trade that you have. And you're going to have your early 2024 second to trade that you have. So you have all of a sudden three really good picks that you can trade plus those guys. And so I think it's important to them that they want to be able to trade multiple of those guys in a deal, in a bigger deal, to get another, you know, $20 million a year player type of guy. So, I mean, I don't know who that would be right now, but come, you know, June, July, we might have a better idea of that. So I think that this was, I mean, that if that's the case, and if this is something that keeps them under the second apron, it's a very smart move by John Horst to, you know, be on top of that and get them under the second apron so that they are much more flexible in what they are allowed to do come June. And when they have these picks and more ammo to attach to some of these guys. So again, that's my understanding of it. And maybe they forego that and just get a buyout guy and don't care about that as much and just say, we're going to wait until July to really make any trades. And at that point, the new year resets, everything's fine. But it's an interesting aspect of this. And so if they don't get a buyout guy, it would be because of that reason. It would be because they're trying to stay under the second apron. They don't want to pay another player that would push them over. Cause I think right now they're like 1 million away from being over. So they don't have much room. And so a new player would probably push them over. And if they don't get someone new, the reason would be they're trying to stay under the second apron.
I don't think that's going to sit very well with Bucks fans. I think that's going to be a hard sell. If that indeed is the case, where if they sign a player to a minimum contract for the rest of the year, and the reason they're not going to do it is because they don't want to be over the apron for, you know, a possible trade on draft night or whatever else, and you're essentially possibly sacrificing a better chance at a championship because they still have not solved the wing defender issue. That still is an issue. That still has not changed. You still have a gaping hole there, and that is something that has to be addressed. And if this is going to be, well, we don't want to get to the second apron, and that's the reason, man, oh man, I would hate to look back if you get knocked out in the playoffs and having that be the topic of conversation of why you got knocked out, Nathan.
Yes, but do you think, I mean, the question then is, do you think that that player exists on the buyout market that they can get?
I don't know. I mean, we'll see what else happens here and who else gets cut.
Yeah, but to me, I can understand if there's really nobody that you're like, that guy really changes things for us on the buyout market. Okay, well, then I'd rather just say, you know what? We're not going to go sign someone and have no flexibility come June, and we can make possibly a really, really big trade. I mean, or not even, I don't want to say really, really big, but just a bigger trade. You don't want to lose the opportunity to make a big trade just because you want to get some 12th man for your bench that doesn't even end up playing. And it's like, is that worth it? Now, if there was a guy that you're like, that dude really, really would help us. Like I don't know if that player exists. So that's why I'm like, I don't mind if this is what they do and they forego signing one more player for the, you know, end of the bench buyout guy to have that flexibility later. I would mind it more if there was that player available and they passed on that, you know, cause then you're saying, okay, you're really, you know, not you're losing out on a chance to really make your title odds better. If you're just signing any random player, Daniel House, to be on your, you know, bench, I don't know if that's anything that changes their title odds, you know? So at that point, I'd rather just keep the, or stay under the second apron.
All right. So let's talk about this for a second. So when you get into the playoffs, normally you're talking about an 8-man rotation, maybe 9, but probably more like 3 legit bench guys get the minutes. So that right now is Portis, Crowder, and Beverly. That's 8. That does not include Connaughton. That does not include Marjan or Ajax or AJ Green or anybody else. So if you're going to get a buyout guy on the market, going off what you just said, and I agree with you, that guy, in my opinion, has to be a guy that's going to be in the playoff rotation.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying that he has to replace Portis or Crowder or Beverly, but he has to have some minutes to him in order to justify doing this. I mean, he's got to get some minutes here, however you get them for him, 12, 15 minutes a game in each playoff game here in order to justify doing that and essentially getting to the second apron. I think that would be how I would justify it.
Yes, absolutely. You know, because and that's why right now it's not a case of just like, okay, go sign any buyout guy you can to fill out your roster. That'll help. Like, no, they're actually with assuming that this second apron thing, assuming that we all have this correct and they are under right now and this would push them over, which I think is true. But assuming that that's true, that does all of a sudden make it. No, if you're going to get a buyout guy, you have to make sure that they are a playoff type of guy, that there's someone who can be in your playoff rotation to make that worth it. So I agree 100%. And yeah, I mean, like you said, it's not like you don't need a ton of depth in the playoffs, but you do need a couple guys. And that's why I like this campaign trade, you know, even more, is because I firmly believed, I'm like, okay, they have their top five. You've got, you know, I think Jay Crowder is definitely in the playoff rotation at least. So that's 6 guys that you have definitely in your playoff rotation. Bobby will be in there kind of half and half. So that's like 6.5 guys. And you're kind of like, they definitely just need at least one more guy. Like Campaign wasn't a guy. AJ Green could be a guy. Ajax could be a guy for parts of the playoffs. By Pat Connaughton, you're not sure, but like you had like 6.5 guys that you're sure are like, okay, these guys will play in the playoffs. And now that you get Pat Bev, he can play in the playoffs. You know, he can survive defensively. He's going to be fine. So that, to have that extra, that new guy that's like, okay, now you're at 7 to maybe 8 guys in the playoffs, all of a sudden you're much closer. You know, getting that guy is big. And so they're still going to need some guys to step up. You know, I love that Jay Crowder looked good today to kind of prove that, okay, he can be that guy that we want him to be, a 3-point shooter, decent defender. And if AJ Green can hit shots like he's hitting and play defense like he's playing defense, he's been really good on defense lately. He can definitely be a playoff guy. You know, I've been saying all year, like I'd want to just throw him in there when you're, you know, you need some 3-point shooting and don't be afraid to give him minutes. But now I'm starting to see, like, I mean, maybe just give him that role of like 7th, 8th guy. Like, I don't see why not.
Say it. Who's he gonna play over? Say it. Who's he gonna play over? Who is it, Nathan? Who's he gonna play over? Playoff Pat? Playoff Pat gonna be on the bench?
Look, dude, I don't know why not right now. I don't know why not. I don't know why not. No. Okay. I don't see why not. I mean, like, truthfully, I mean, I know Bobby has size, but I'd play him over Bobby too, just with how he's playing, like, just overall. Now, they're different positions, so it's much different. But as far as just taking a guy's spot, like, he should have Pat's spot right now. He should. They're, when you watch the two of them play, I mean, one is just a better version of the other. And it's like, it's AJ Green is just a better version of Pat Connaughton right now. He plays better defense.
Yep.
He shoots the ball better. Like, he just plays his role better. And it's like, if that's going to continue, and if he can show this consistently, which he has started to do it consistently, you can't be afraid of playing that guy in the playoffs. Now, if he is all of a sudden, if you get to a playoff series and he's really struggling, okay, you can pull him. Like, nobody's going to get mad at you for pulling a guy who's struggling.
Yep.
But give him the chance. If he's playing well throughout the regular season and this continues, give him the chance. Don't just say we're rolling with Pat Connaughton because he's got veteran experience and you watch Pat Connaughton do nothing out there and you let Adrian, don't let him sit on the bench. If you need to put him in there, put him in there. So as of right now, he should be playing over Pat Connaughton. Like, he should, you know, and it should be like that until he kind of loses a spot, because he has earned the spot so far. Like, if you're just talking about who has looked better, it's AJ Green. So I feel like that spot should be his until proven otherwise at this point.
All right, take a quick time. I'll come back. I want to talk about some of the other trades in the Eastern Conference tonight. Plus, we'll still get to Bucks T-Wolves that ended right before we started the podcast. Tonight, Green and Growing podcast. Download on your Odyssey app or if you download your favorite podcast app. Check us out streaming live or after we're done with the video. You can go back and watch it whenever on the Odyssey Sports YouTube page. We'll look at the Eastern Conference and who really got better. And how did Indiana do? What about the Knicks? We'll talk about those guys coming up next here on Green and Growing.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's C. Sparky Fiverr, 1250 AM The Fan. Check out the website, 1250amthefan.com, or on your Odyssey app for all the interviews I do throughout the course of the week. Just had Tim Dillard, former Brewers pitcher, Valley Sports Wisconsin analyst, interviewed him. That's up on the website if you want to check that out. Jim Polzin from the Wisconsin State Journal interviewed him this week. You want to check that out as well. Tomorrow, a couple of interviews I'm doing during the day. Tomorrow, that'll be up probably tomorrow night or Saturday. KJ Wright, the former Seattle Seahawk. Interviewing him. He's down on Radio Row down there doing stuff. So we'll talk with him. Looking forward to that. And Eric Name of The Athletic, Bucks beat writer, going to interview him tomorrow morning. We'll have that up on the site tomorrow afternoon on the Odyssey app. You can catch it out there too. Nathan Marzian, my co-host as always. All right, Nathan Marzian, let's talk about the Pacers and kind of what they did so far. So out goes Buddy Hield, 2 second-round picks. In comes Doug McDermott, Corey Joseph, Furkan Korkmaz, if I said his name right, on the 3 second-round picks as well. Do you like what the Pacers did at the deadline?
It was weird because it's like you essentially just went from Buddy Hield to Doug McDermott and got a couple seconds. But like, it was kind of like, why would you even like, why? I don't know why they would want to do that. They seem like they're playing well. I know Buddy Hield hasn't been great this season. Like he was averaging a couple years ago, like 18 a game on, 42% from three. He's now like 12 a game, 37%, 38% from three. So he hasn't been as amazing as he was a couple years ago, but still, it just was like, I just don't get bringing in a different shooter. They do the same type of thing, Buddy Hield and Doug McDermott. They're spot up shooters who don't play a ton of defense. So it's just like, I don't really understand just like swapping out a player that, was fitting in well and seemed to be working for a guy that's a little bit worse and getting a couple second round picks. Like that was weird to me. I don't think they got much better or worse. It just was very odd.
What about the New York Knicks? And I think, again, I didn't see them doing this deal with the Pistons necessarily here at the end of the day, but getting Alec Burks and Bojan Bogdanovic for essentially Grimes and a bunch of other crap that goes along with it. I thought that was a great deal for the New York Knicks. And I think the Pistons would take a roll of the dice on Grimes and see if he could turn out to be something that everybody thinks at some point. But they're not going anywhere anyhow. They clear off some salary in the process. I think it made sense for both teams, but the Knicks really kind of showing right now that they're in this to win this thing right now.
Yeah, I agree. It was pretty good for both sides. Pistons may have been able to get a little bit more, but I do really like Grimes. The Knicks, I mean, it's a good trade for them. They seem like they got better. They're legit. They're going to make a run for this thing. But I do wonder, do they have too many guys at this point? Like, it feels like they just have 10 good players that you're like, I mean, how do you even, I just don't know how you fit that all together. I don't know how you make that all work. I'm not saying that's not a good problem to have of having too many good players, but it's like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like they have too, like it's all depth. And yes, they have a really good top 8, 9, 10. But when you look at their top three, you're like, can that top three win a title?
All right. Probably so right now their depth chart, it's Brunson and DiVincenzo in the backcourt. Then it's Ananobi, Randall, and Hardenstein. And you have Robinson if he comes back. Then backups are McBride, Burks, Hart, Bogdanovich, and Sims. So again, like you were talking depth-wise, if you look at that, they're probably 8 deep, maybe 9, but I would say probably more or less 8 deep. And they were definitely not 8 deep prior to all these trades between the Ananobi trade and then coming back and getting this deal done here. I think the Knicks did a really good job at the deadline. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not trying to say it's bad. I have skepticism about having that many players that are playable, that are good players, where it's like, how do you make that all work? You're going to have to juggle some lineup stuff. You're going to have to juggle some who has the ball type of stuff. And the only other part of it for me was like, they were playing really good ball. Like they were really rolling. And all of a sudden you're throwing Bogdanovich and Burks into that mix. Now, again, that could make it even better. It could. But it also could just add a dynamic where it's like, again, you're taking the ball out of some of the guys' hands that were getting comfortable. They had, obviously Brunson's had a great year. DiVincenzo had been playing really well. And it's just like, okay, all of a sudden you're kind of taking the ball out of their hands, putting it in the hands of these new guys. Could that mess some things up a little bit? It might all of a sudden take them back a step and they have to kind of, get used to this and everything. I'm not saying it wasn't good. There's skepticism on my end of like, how great this is for them and how, like, I just see a lot of people automatically saying, oh my God, they're amazing. They're going to totally be a contender. Like, I think they're good. I think they can give any team a run for their money. I'd say they have arguably the highest floor of any team in the league, but I still don't know if their ceiling has been raised a ton. And I kind of question how this will all piece together now that they have to adjust to playing with some new guys.
What do you think about Philadelphia and getting Buddy Hield at this point? I like it for Philadelphia. I really do. I think they needed some more scoring to guard against Maxey if he goes cold or something in the playoffs to give you another score. I like what that does for Philly.
Yeah, I mean, they basically traded a bunch of expiring guys and young, like a couple, like just meaningless guys for a better expiring guy. So they keep their cap space for the summer because they're going to have a ton of cap space to possibly sign someone. After all these guys' contract runs out, basically everyone except for Embiid and Maxey. So they keep their cap space, but they get a little bit better this year. only give up a couple second round picks. Like it was, that was definitely a good trade for them. Cause it was like basically, yeah, I mean, you just give up 2 seconds to get better this season and keep all of your cap space. So they did a good job with that.
What about the Boston Celtics? I don't think they did anything major necessarily. If you look at the Celtics, I don't think it's anything earth shattering what they did. Cleveland didn't really do anything either at the deadline where you have to be concerned about them. Toronto's been moving pieces around left and right. I'm trying to figure out what exactly they're doing there. It feels like they're trying to be a playoff team, even though they don't have Siakam. That's what it feels like to me. What does it feel like to you with Toronto?
I am confused at what they're doing. And my confusion started last year at the trade deadline when they didn't get rid of Van Vliet, didn't get rid of Anunoby, didn't get rid of anyone. And they like signed, I think it was Jakob Poeltl and or traded for Jakob Poeltl. And it was like, why are they getting another guy? They're not contending. They're not going to, you know, they missed the playoffs. And then they end up losing Fred Van Vliet for nothing. Like it just doesn't seem like they have a set direction. And now all of a sudden, like they looks like, okay, they're finally selling. They got rid of OG Anunoby, you know, to get quickly Barrett pick everything. Like, okay, I start to like their direction. And all of a sudden, like they give up a first round pick. Ochai Agbaji is not bad. Like he's a solid young player, but like, I don't get why you'd want Kelly Olynyk. He's got like 3 years left on his deal. It's not like he's an expiring contract or anything. I don't know. They it's just a weird, they seem like they're destined to kind of be in the middle of the pack for a long time here, for at least a few years here, which to me is not where you want to be. Like you either want to really have a direction of, okay, we're building towards the future, or really be starting to go all in. And it just feels like they're in the middle. And another move today where I just was like, I don't really get that. Like, why are you like, they shouldn't be giving up a first round pick right now to get some meh players. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I will tell you the move that warmed my heart. Seeing Grant Williams go to the Hornets. I was very, very excited about that. I was so happy. I don't really care about Dallas and Kidd and getting PJ Washington, whatever, but Grant Williams getting sent to Charlotte to play for that crappy franchise for the rest of the year. It just made me feel really good about life in general, Nathan. And maybe that's bad of me to say that, but I'm telling you, when I saw he got sent to Charlotte, I smiled and said, oh, that sucks. Too bad for you, buddy. That's on you. Too bad.
I do. In that deal, I do really like the, what's his name? PJ Washington aspect of that, because he's a guy that I've always wanted on the Bucks. I just really like him as a power forward, plays some defense. He's still pretty young. He's pretty versatile on offense. So that's a pretty underrated pickup, I think. I don't think a lot of people, because he's played in Charlotte, because he hasn't been very much, you know, in the spotlight, don't really know how good PJ Washington is. So I'm excited to see what he can do there, and if he can, you know, help them really start to go from like semi-competing to actually competing in the West.
It's funny. I heard the Bulls general manager's press conference talking about how they didn't do anything again. One of the reporters brought up that, you know, fans are pissed off at him. Like, you're not doing nothing. You're not getting us better. We're kind of just treading water, whatever. And he said, well, that's from the fans' perspective. This is a reporter. He said, but from management perspective, were you just brought in here to kind of essentially get this team competitive again and competing night in and night out? And then from that aspect, you know, do you think you've done your job? He said, yep, that's pretty much right. I think I have done my job. That's what they brought me in here to do. He goes, we've had some injuries and so forth, but for the most part, I think we're pretty competitive most nights. Obviously, do we want to be more competitive with some of these better teams? Sure. And then he points at the standings and the sixth seed and pretty much says that, hey, we still got a chance to be the sixth seed here from the Bulls perspective. As a Bulls fan, I would absolutely be mortified hearing him say that. It would be like Herb Cole saying, yeah, we're competing for the eighth spot. That's all we're trying to do. Just get in.
I was just going to say, it's like 2012 bucks, you know?
Yeah. That is just, that's just absolutely horrible. I feel sorry for Bulls fans. But again, I think that team is much different if Lonzo Ball never hurts his back. If Lonzo Ball is healthy and they have Ball, LaVine, and DeRozan this entire time, with his ability to play point, his ability to score the basketball, that Bulls team is probably much better. All right, take a quick time out. Come back. We'll talk about the Bucks getting trounced by the T-Wolves, mainly in the second half, earlier tonight before we came on to do the podcast. That's next here on Green and Growing. Download on your Odyssey app or you download your favorite podcast app. Back at Green and Growing, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer along with Nathan Marzion. Follow me at Sparky Radio. Follow Nathan at Nathan Marzion. Bucks lose 129-105 to the T-Wolves in Milwaukee. A West Coast trip is finally done, thank God, but the results no different. Still a loss, but no Dame Lillard, no Chris Middleton tonight. Brooke Lopez returned, but the story of tonight wasn't the fact that they lost, because I think we all expected them to lose going into this game. The two stories tonight was Jay Crowder looking like Jay Crowder again. Thank God. So that was pleasant to see. And then we talked about it earlier. AJ Green just feeling himself. He was at 24 last time I checked. What did AJ Green? 27 he ended up with. I mean, that is a hell of a night for AJ Green. Now, again, a majority of that came in the fourth quarter. I get it. But either way, both those guys playing that well, it makes you smile a little bit. Go, oh, maybe. Maybe they get hot a little bit in the playoffs, and that would be a really a big shot in the arm if either of these two guys could get going in the playoffs off the bench. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that was my exact takeaway from this. You know, it was a game where, going into it, it was going to be tough. You have Chris and Dame out, which are your two main perimeter ball handlers, and you're going against the best defense in the league. That's a recipe for probably having a rough go of it and probably struggling a little bit to score the ball, to keep up, and just to play well in this game. So I was not surprised that they were losing. I was not surprised that, you know, Minnesota really kind of held a steady lead throughout, but it was one of those nights where you're like, okay, let's try to look for some positives, you know? And AJ Green and Jay Crowder looked really, really good. I don't, you know, they're not always going to look this good, but the fact that they can look this good, the fact that they're shooting the ball well, it's like, okay, you know, you see, again, if those two can play well, plus you add Pat Bev in this thing and you can get anything you possibly can out of, you know, Bobby and Pat, if they can give you anything, it's like, okay, all of a sudden you've got a decent 8 to 9 there that you can work with, 7, 8, you know, whatever. And so it was just good to see those guys step up a little bit, you know, in a game where you, again, and especially with, let alone with the injuries, but once you saw that the Timberwolves were making everything from three and Malik Beasley was ice cold from three, he was like 1 of 12 or something, not from three, but just overall, you knew, okay, this, again, it's going to be almost impossible to win this game. Cause it's like, you're missing two of your best shooters in Dame and Chris, and your next best shooter is ice cold. You're not going to keep up. You're just not, against the best defense in the league. So it was just one of those where you're trying to look for silver linings. You're trying to see anything positive you can take away that is, you know, more meaningful in the long run. Cause again, the reality is, as much as we want to win every game, like winning this random game in February, like, that's not as meaningful as, okay, hey, look, AJ Green and Jay Crowder played well. They got minutes. They looked good. Like, that could be, that'd be much more meaningful later on if that continues than just winning this February random game. So I try to keep that in perspective. I know a lot of people don't, because every time I go on Twitter and they're losing, everyone's sad and acting like, oh my God, this team is doomed. Like, again, I don't know what people expected in this game when you're going against such a tough defense and you don't have your two main ball handlers out there. So this was a game where I'm just happy that a couple guys stepped up, and they're going to need to. If Bobby and Pat aren't playing well, like, they just continue to not look that good, you're going to need guys to step up. Because if you don't get guys to step up, they're just not going to be enough guys that are playing well to make a huge run. So, yeah.
And Doc wasn't playing Thanasis until it was completely over, which warmed my heart as well. The other thing is this. Look, if you were going to beat Minnesota tonight or earlier tonight, you had to catch a break, and Minnesota had to be off shooting the ball. They shot 57% from the field. They shot 54% from three. So not only were you down two of your best offensive players, they caught fire shooting the ball on top of it against you, which really put you in a hole that was very hard to overcome. And then on top of that, you have the Twin Towers down underneath, and having Giannis having to battle that all night long, and Brooke too. And I'm going to harp on something, because I've only harped on it all year, and I'm going to harp on it again. We talk about Plan B's Marzion. Tonight would have been nice. And now it's Doc. It's not Griffin. It's not Bud. Now it's Doc. They ran it. I think it was an inbounds play. They got the ball to Brooke in the block, and he scored. And I was like, oh, okay, here we go. Let's go. And the next possession comes down, and he's out at the three-point line. I'm like, holy crap. But see, again, these are the type of games when you're down out with these two guys. And again, Doc just got here, so whatever. But I'm just saying, if this were to be a playoff game, dude, you just got to put him down there and let him work. Like Marcus Johnson said, happy birthday, Marcus Johnson, by the way. Like Marcus Johnson said, he was one of the best back-to-the-basket big guys in the league prior to Budenholzer getting him over here and making him a three-point shooter. Go back, work him when you're down a player or two offensive players, and let him get 15, 20 shots by the rim and see what he can do. I don't see the problem with it. And tonight would have been a perfect time to explore that, to see what would happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it was something that for a couple of years now, it's been you know, let's try to do that a little bit more come playoff time. I know it was something that during the playoff run when they won it in 2021, I think Charles Barkley was on TNT kind of saying they need to go to that more, you know, not do it every possession or anything. Don't, it's not a staple of your offense, but like post him up more, you know, don't just run this five out offense and just run, you know, jack threes the whole time. Cause that's not a way of consistently winning. Like that just adds a lot of variance to your game is just chucking threes, but to use your big guys in post up situations, get them around the rim. Like that's a much more high percentage shot. And like you said, Brook Lopez is good at it. He had a stretch where he was one of the best in the league at it. So I completely agree. And, you know, again, I mean, yeah, this was a tough matchup overall. And pretty quickly in this game, I was like, I'm not sure. Like, unless they get hot from three, I don't love their offense tonight. Cause yeah, like you said, they're going against those twin towers down low. And you've got, so that's going to, you know, hurt Giannis a little bit, hurt Brook's ability to do that consistently a little bit. Like, personnel wise, this was not the best matchup to use him down low. Cause you just had two big men that were, they're pretty good defenders. But still, it's something that going forward, I want to see them use in the right matchups. I thought last year against the Heat in the playoffs, it was something too that in that series, it was like, just go down low. Like they don't have the size to stay with Giannis and Brook. And they started doing it more and it would work so much. And then late in games, they started to stop going to it. And that's when their offense would kind of fall apart. And it was exactly. Like, just keep going to it. And so, yeah, it's always been something that I think unlocks their offense a little bit and really gives them another level. Cause you know, teams focus so much on stopping Giannis, teams are going to focus so much on the perimeter, stopping all those shooters. And it's like to have another big that you can put down low. And that's just another nice weapon to have. So.
Yeah. And Robin Lopez reading a book tonight was another nice little added sideshow. Really got a kick out. If he knows how to entertain, I'll give him that. He is Nathan Marzian. Follow him on Twitter at Nathan Marzian. You can follow me at Sparky Radio. Check out all the interviews I do during the week at 1250amthefan.com or simply on your Odyssey app. That too. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Really appreciate it. And we will talk to you guys again coming up next week. Have a good one, y'all. Toodles.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.